Peter chapter 3. I'm potentially going to be finishing up with a men tonight, depending on how far I make it. If not, Lord willing, it'll definitely be next week. And we're going to start on the wives. A lot of the things that we cover throughout this study deal with some of the things we'll be dealing with on the wives' part. We kind of cover it a little bit as we're going through here, but we're doing it from the aspect of the men, and that they need to understand what their part is, and the wife can't do what she's supposed to do without the husband doing what he's supposed to do. And there's things that she is supposed to do and can do and should do, even if the husband's not doing his part. But, man, the home's a whole lot smoother when everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. According to the Word of God, it'll go by a whole lot better. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 3. And we're going to just look at verse number 7 tonight. We'll go straight to that. The Bible says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So we're dealing with a husband here, dwelling with a wife according to knowledge. And there's some things that the husband should know about his wife. And we spent a lot of time on this subject, but it's been a while since we've been on it. We went through Christmas break and all of the month of January without dealing with it. So the last one we laid off that we went over was the husband should know his wife's nature. We talked about the nature of a woman and some of the things she feels and what she goes through. And we looked at what the Bible said about it. And then we also, like the last night we met, we looked at about a man playing the man, being the man for his people, for his church, for his home. And so we dealt with that some. If a man is emotionally unstable, then he's considered to be effeminate. And there's a lot of men today that are that way. If he's a nervous wreck every time something happens, if he's an emotional disaster when anything happens or changes, then he's effeminate. And we have a lot of effeminate men in our society. A man should, you know, at least act like he's, you know, masculine and act like he's not afraid. I talked about before, you know, laying in bed and you hear a noise and sending your wife after it. That's a problem. Amen. Even if you're scared to death, she doesn't need to know that. And, you know, I'm a man and nothing's coming into my house. I don't care if it's a mouse or what it is. Amen. Women are designed of God to be emotional. They're designed to display emotions. And this is why a man should not pile all of his trouble on his wife. She is not made to bear that. You are. Men are logical. Women are emotional. And that's not to say that the woman can't have some of those characteristics also and be kind of logical and, you know, those kind of things. But I'm just saying that's how God designed them to be. Men are not supposed to react based off of emotions and get all worked up like a woman does. The husband should bear the burdens and should do everything he can to make, you know, life pleasant for his wife and do those things. And we talked about some of those. A wife's area of concern is her husband in the house, is to be a keeper at home. And the Bible tells us that over Titus chapter 2, verse 5. It's to take care of her children. We looked at that in 1 Timothy 5:10. To guide her house. 1 Timothy 5:14, the Bible tells us that. And so that's her concern. And so when she is put with more concern about other things on her, she's not to bear that. That responsibility falls on the husband. God never intended for the world, for a woman to solve all the world's problems. Never intended for that to happen. All right. And we could tell the lady politicians that are all trying to run for office. God never intended for a woman to bear those kind of things. Never intended for it at all. Adam was to take care of the garden outside of the house, and Eve was supposed to take care of Adam, to take care of the home, inside of the home. And so that's why God told the woman, thy desire shall be to thy husband. Now, we live in a society that's completely different from that, and y'all know that. You see it. You've heard me preach it. But there's a lot of times in homes, in some Christian homes, where the wife has to take care of those things. Because if she doesn't take care of them, they're not going to get done. If she doesn't make sure all the bills are paid, if she doesn't make sure there's enough money in the account, if she doesn't make sure decisions are made in the home when it comes to children and things that need to be done, if she doesn't do it, it does not get done. And so she's forced, because of the husband's irresponsibility toward the obedience to God and his word, now she's forced to do things that God never intended for her to do. And now she has an attitude that is not pleasing to the Lord, and different things happen. And it's all because that man failed to do what he was supposed to do. Does any of this make sense? Amen. Somebody that's a bum, they're a sluggard, they're lazy, they will not work, they will not provide for their family, they have zero fulfillment in life. They feel like their life is pointless. Like, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing? Well, they have no fulfillment in life because their responsibility, God designed them to work, to take care of their home and their family. If they're lazy, if they won't get up and go to work, if they won't try to do anything and move forward and protect their family and actively work and pay the bills and do all those things, I mean, that's where a man finds his fulfillment, is taking care of his family. We looked at that over in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. Our desire is to be toward what God has called us to do. And some people, God has called you to get up and go to work and support your family and support the local church. And you will not be happy, and you will not have happiness and joy in your life like you ought to unless you're doing what God wants you to do. God hasn't called everybody to pastor. God hasn't called everybody to teach a Sunday school class. And those things are good if he has. But God has called you as a husband to work and provide for your family. And if you're not doing that, then you will not be happy. And you won't have fulfillment. The wife, if she's not providing for her home and her family and the needs of her husband, she will not be happy, because that's what God's called her to do. And we've looked at all those verses, and we're going to look at them again when we get into the wives. And so that's where we must find our joy and fulfillment. Y'all have heard this statistic before, probably, and you've probably seen people that have retired and then they didn't do anything after retirement. And I think the statistics are within 5 years, people that do that die most of the time. When they reach retirement age, if they retire and do nothing, within 5 years on average, they die. Why? There's no fulfillment of nothing. They've worked their whole life, and you know, but the guys that are still doing good and the ladies that are still doing, they got busy doing something. You know, I'm sure we all know people that have retired, and man, they say, well, I'm busier now than I was when I was working. But hey, they're doing good. They have fulfillment. A man ought to have a desire to provide and to protect. That ought to be an instinct. And if you don't have that, then somebody took it from you. Amen. Society, something took that from you, and you'll never be happy, because a man ought to have that desire that I'm going to take care of my home, I'm going to take care of my family, and I'm going to protect them at whatever cost. And that ought to be, if you don't have that, ask God to give it back to you and try to get things lined back up. I think I'll pause for just a second in this message to say, you know, I know I'm not perfect in any of this stuff. As I go through here, God speaks to my heart. But I'm thankful for mercy and grace and long-suffering and second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And I'm thankful that he gives us opportunity to make things right. That doesn't mean we don't have to live with the things that we've already done or gone through. We have to. It's the law of sowing and reaping. We still have to live with some decisions we've made. But God will take somebody wherever they are. If they will give a willing heart to him, he can take it and he can fix it. But it has to have a willing heart. Somebody says, Lord, I'm giving myself to you. You know, I've made a mess. Can you fix it? And I've seen him fix some homes, and I'm thankful for it. And I've made colossal mistakes, but God's been faithful. He's faithful, not me. He's been faithful, and I'm thankful for it. I owe him everything. But a man should find joy and fulfillment in taking care of his family. If the wife's desires to be towards her husband, where will she find her fulfillment and purpose in life? If she can't find it in her husband, where is she going to find it? And the truth is, she'll look in all kind of places, but she won't ever find it. If she can't find that fulfillment in her husband and in her home, she will look in all kind of places to find it, but will not truly find it. She'll never find it. Her desire should be to her husband and to her home. And if she's not going to find it in her husband, she's not going to find it. She can try a career. A lot of women do that. They try a career. And maybe in their early ages, there's some kind of fulfillment with climbing some corporate ladder or something. But that's not what God designed. That's not what God intended. And she will not find fulfillment in that. Some ladies or women work, or they have to work, whatever the case might be, and they got to get through that. That's fine. But if her desire is to her husband and her home, that's where she'll find fulfillment. It's not the job. A man will find fulfillment. And again, you can go look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. Actually, let's go look there. We've already read this, but it's been a few weeks. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. A man finds fulfillment in taking care of his home and working. I don't think there's one man in here that would say that after a good long day work, work was done, you got something accomplished, you might be tired. I mean, I can see it tonight, we're tired. But you said, man, I've taken care of my family. Doesn't it make you feel good to work, have a good hard day work? I mean, sometimes you're tired, your body's broke down, all those kind of things. You might get tired of doing the same thing every day, but really at the end of the day, my family's taken care of and they're protected. And that's where we find fulfillment in a woman, a lady. Her fulfillment is in taking care of the needs of her husband and of the home. That's where she finds it. It's not in a career. All right, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life. Talking to the men here. And in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. That's how God designed the man. He designed the man to find fulfillment for his life in taking care of his family and work. And to work. Amen. Sometimes you got to do whatever it takes to take care of your family. Sometimes that means more work. And a lady who's, right with God, she'll appreciate her husband that maybe he can't always spend time there, but the reason that he can't spend time is not because he's on a video game or not because he's hanging out with his buddies, but because he has to work to provide for his family. And she might miss him and she might understand why he has to do that, but is thankful because he's taking care of her. She can rest at ease that their family's being taken care of. That burden's not on her. And so that's, I've seen women try to get some kind of excitement or joy or fulfillment out of a career. And I've even heard young ladies say, well, I'm never going to get married, or I'm going to wait and get married when I'm 40. I'm going to have a career. Well, that's never what God intended. He intended for them to be a keeper at home, to take care of their children, to guide the house. And that's where they'll find their fulfillment. All right. And so a lot of people will go their whole life and they'll look back on their life sometimes and they'll look back and say their life was empty and it was wasted. They had no fulfillment in life. That's what people look for, which number one, you're not going to find any fulfillment in anything unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be saved. I mean, you're not going to know love. You're not going to know any of those things. You're not going to know how to be a husband you ought to be or a wife you ought to be unless you are saved. You're born again. But then even people that are saved, they live their life and they feel like they have no fulfillment. They don't know why they do what they do. They go through the motions every day. When you figure out, husband, that what we do every day is to take care of our family and to work, which both of those go together. We figure that, we finally figure that out up here and in here. Then we say, Lord, I'm pleasing you because I'm doing what you told me to do. And then next thing you know, we don't mind going to work, or we don't mind working extra hours, or we don't mind doing what it takes to take care of our family. That's where Ecclesiastes 9:9 is saying here. Our family and in thy labor, which thou takest under the sun. He said, what does that mean? Whatever job God's given you to do. Amen? Some people say, well, I don't like my job. Well, if that's what you have and that's what you're taking care of your family with, you got to do it. And the Bible tells us if we're doing a job, we ought to do it as if we're doing it for the Lord. Which that should change our attitude on our job. So God, Lord, I don't like my job, but I'm doing it to try to please you. Please give me a better job. And he's going to say, well, are you going to be faithful to church? Are you going to tithe with the money I'm giving you? And if you do what I'm telling you to do, I just might give you a raise. I might give you a better position. I might give you a better job. And I've seen God do it time and time and time again. But if you're complaining or you're not taking care of your family and you're not working, not doing those things, why is he going to do anything more for you? Any of this making sense? All right. Thank you, Brother Bowen. All right, look at Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. All right. I want to show you an illustration in the Bible here of a woman. When a woman's God-given desire, which is to her husband, to her home, is not fulfilled. The Bible gives us an illustration here of what happens. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 16. Did they hear say amen? All right, Ezekiel chapter 16, and look at verse number 44. Ezekiel 16, 44. All right, behold, every one that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. This is an illustration. He's talking to the nation of Israel here, but an illustration of what happens when God's given desire is not fulfilled. She begins to loathe her husband. I didn't say hate. A lot of times somebody will get frustrated and say, you know, that the wife hates him, but it goes to another. The Bible says loathe. That's to the point where they can't stand even the sight of him. They can't stand being around him. They don't want him touching them. I mean, loathe. I've counseled with couples before where the wife loathed the husband. I do not want to see him. I do not want him, you know, and there's different scenarios and there's different cases. I understand that. But at the end of the day, somewhere down the line, either one or both got off track with what God wanted them to do. And now we're in this position where she loathes her husband. You know, a man's anger and frustration can be vented unless he's effeminate. Then that's a whole nother message. But a woman's cannot, by her nature, she cannot empty herself and then go on about her business. She can't. Brother Hunter and I had a problem, and he goes, I need to talk to you. He'd go out there, and I feel like he'd shoot straight with me and say, hey, I got a problem with this. I'd shoot straight back with him. It might get heated for just a second and look at each other and say, you good? Yeah, I'm good. You good? Yep. Shake hands and go about our business. Women can't do that. Amen? Amen. Women cannot do that. By her nature, she just can't do that. She's going to hold in her frustration. A matter of fact, it could be 15 years ago, and she remembers what socks you were wearing. She remembers what stripe was on them and how many stripes were on them. And you're like, what are you talking about? I have no clue what you're talking about. Am I right, husbands? Amen. Men ought not to be like that. They shouldn't be like that. But that's how a woman is. She holds in her frustration. She holds in her anger. And if she's not properly led and loved by her husband, then those emotions and those situations turn to loathing. They build up, they cause problems, and it turns into loathing. I cannot stand the sight of him. I cannot stand him for him to touch me. And that's not good in a marriage. That causes major problems when it gets to that. If they end up, it's not just hating their husband. They actually loathe them. They cannot stand to be around them. She doesn't want to hear his voice. She doesn't want anything to do with her. You know, the loathing of a husband is why you find mature women who end up having children that end up leaving their husbands. Some people say, "Well, I don't understand what's happened." Well, I know there's all kind of illustrations and examples of why marriages don't work, but sometimes there's nothing outside of the home that happens. She just ends up loathing him. He's not doing his responsibility as a husband. He's not taking care of the home. He's not taking care of her. He's not working. All these things work together, and then she ends up loathing him. And we see these things over again. And ends up causing all kind of problems. I don't know if y'all have ever heard stories. I have, where the man gets up and he goes to work. He comes home and the house is empty. She never said a word. Gone. So how does that happen? It's a process. I heard a preacher say one time that as far as a man that won't work and won't take care of his family, I'm not talking about a rebellious woman who the husband's doing right and she just won't do right. I'm talking about a husband that we're dealing with the husbands, won't work, won't take care. You know, you say, was that right or wrong? You know, I'm just saying, husbands, we have a great responsibility. One government statistic said that each year in the United States, 175,000 women leave their husbands without saying one word. I know that sounds like a miracle, but without saying one word. They go to work, come back, she's gone. Another thing too, and all these things I'm giving you, husband, I'm going back to this burden falling on us. If a husband begins to loathe her husband, she will do everything in her power to suppress the masculinity in her sons. If she loathes her husband, she does not want her children to be anything like him, and she'll begin to suppress the masculinity in her own kids, in her son. And a lot of times that ends up raising a pervert. It ends up causing problems. You got effeminate young men. We got effeminate young men all over now. And you say, what happened? The home got out of order. Things went bad, and now there's effeminate men. It is hard to find a man, a young man. It is. I mean, it's hard to find a man that'll work and take care of his home. I'm talking about young men. I know we have older men that have proved how it works and it can be done. I'm talking about a young man that'll show up. I mean, I was a regional manager there for a little while, and man, it was hard to find a young man to hire that would show up to work. I mean, he comes in 4 hours late. I was up playing video games all last night. Man, you're married with kids, dude. What are you doing playing video games in the middle of the night? Amen. You got to take care of your family, your home. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Put away childish things. You grow up. Take responsibility. I'm not ready for responsibility. Well, you decided you were when you got married, or when you decided to have a child. You decided that you were ready for responsibility. And so that's a danger. You know, if a wife admires her husband and her desires to her husband, and she reverences him, and all that desire is to him, then she will want to raise her boys to be just like him. I want to raise my boys to be like their dad. That'll work, that'll take care of the home, that'll take care of the family. And that'll be her prayer. And she will try to raise them to be like him. Amen. But if she loathes them, it's going the other way. But I want my wife to be able to try to raise Elijah to be a young man for God. But in order to do that, I got to give them something to look towards. And I'm not perfect at all. But I try to please the Lord. And men, we ought to try to please the Lord. If she loathes the men in her life, then she wants to raise sissies. We got too many sissies. She'll buy him silk clothes and get his hair fixed. Have y'all seen women walking through or ladies walking through the store or something, and they got these little boys falling behind them, and they're wearing pastels and they got their hair all fixed up? That lady did that to him. Amen. Elijah, man, I feel bad for him because he's got nothing but girls there all day long. And sometimes I go home and I just, you know, I say, come on, son, you're coming with me. You know, not that Sarah's not, you know, she's teaching him right, but he's with girls all day long. And we need young men. If the church is going to make it, if homes are going to make it, we need young men. All right. The Bible tells us over 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, about the list of those that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's in the list there of those that shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So what are you getting at, Brother Andrew? I'm saying that if we raise effeminate boys, then there's a chance that we're sending them on the road to hell. There's a chance that if they're being raised that way, then God tries to move and work in their life. They're not going to know how to respond to it as a man ought to respond to it. Just causes problems. The Bible doctrinally says that in 1 Peter 3:7 that the wife is the weaker vessel, and it's a sad thing. In our life, if the wife is superior to the husband in the things of God and the Word of God, the Bible says that the wife is supposed to learn from her husband at home. So what does that mean? You say, well, I don't know what answer to give her. Well, before you just tell her, I don't know, go ask the preacher. You say, well, what should I do? Study it out for yourself and you go ask the preacher. Say, preacher, my wife asked me this question. I want to be able to answer, not just send her off to somebody else. Amen. And so I know this is going over great. There's a lot of reasons that the children and ladies don't know much about the Bible. It's because their husband doesn't know much about it. I'm not talking about just here. I'm talking about all over Christianity. We're in a mess. Are we not? Can y'all see that? We're in a mess. I mean, you can see what these Christian colleges are producing. We're in a mess. You say, what can we do about it? Well, we can't do nothing about all them, but we can do something about our home. We do something about our church and try to have a church that's pleasing to God. You say, it's not easy. No, it's not. But God never promised it would be. But I tell you what he did promise. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he said he'd be there with us. He said he'd help us. And I'm telling you, if you do what the Bible says in your home to please God, it will be unpopular to everybody and your family and your brothers and your sisters and your uncles and your grandmothers and everybody you work with. It will not be popular at all. Right? And the Bible actually tells it, the disciples said, man, that they hate us. He said, no, it's not you they hate. It's me. They hate him. They hate this Bible. They hate authority. And even as a man, we're the head of our home. We're the leader of our home, but we fall under an authority. We acknowledge that. This Bible is my authority. So do you follow it perfectly like you should? Probably not like I should. None of us do. Amen. But our desire ought to be to please the Lord. In every way, please him.